Well, ag has been on a really good run the past 2 or 3 years with a lot of records set in terms of prices and incomes. Going to pull back a little bit here in 23, and still some optimism going into 24. What basically happened, we have, you know, very high crop prices, and that encouraged a lot of production around the world. So we've had a pretty significant drop in crop prices, and also dairy was down considerably in terms of price, but somewhat offset here in Kentucky. The yields on our grain crops were surprisingly very good, despite the challenging weather conditions. And what's really driving a lot of things here in Kentucky, you know, we got a lot of cattle producers in the state, and cattle numbers are so tight right now and at such low levels that, you know, that's causing beef cattle prices to increase considerably over the past year. We see that in the grocery store, and it's also, you know, observed in the marketplace for cattle. So all in all, we're talking probably our estimate was going from our record $8.3 billion of cash receipts in 2022. We think that's going to be about $8.1 billion here in 23, and still think we'll be above $8 billion in 24. So getting a little bit lower in terms of cash receipts. If you look at net farm income, we, you know, it's probably going to come off record levels because not only those receipts down a little bit, but you know, farmers no different than anybody else getting cut or getting hit by the inflationary impacts on things that they buy. You know, everything from the cost of money, the cost of labor is going up considerably. So a little bit of good news on that front is, you know, fertilizer and feed prices are down a little bit from where they were a few years ago. So that's been some relief. But overall, the margins are going to be tighter. But still, I think the, you know, farm income and the farm economy is pretty strong here in 23 with some cautious optimism going into 24.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So to, I guess, dissect a little bit of this now, maybe you mentioned it in there, so my, and maybe I missed it about dairy. What's dairy situation?
Well, I had coming off some really high prices, a couple of really good years for dairy, but even though they've experienced higher feed cost, you know, the price of milk a year or so ago was at a level that dairy farmers could make some decent money, but we've had a pretty big drop in dairy prices this year. And, you know, a lot of these commodities, they tend to cycle. And, you know, we saw the same thing in the terms of a production response globally is impacting that price of dairy.
Hmm. Well, now, and not to focus only in the, I mean, I'll get to some other things, but in dairy, roughly how many farmers do we have in dairy? And are they, I guess I want to ask, are they, do they supplement more than others?
We've had a significant pullback in the number of dairies, just like we've had in the number of tobacco farmers. I don't have the specific number of farms. You can check with Kenny Burdine, my colleague, sort of livestock specialist. But you're right. I mean, a lot of dairy farms, they have other enterprises, where most Kentucky farms are just not solo. They don't just grow one crop or have one cattle or one livestock species. They tend to diversify. So that's one of the things that's helped us weather this downturn a little bit, because again, a lot of these farmers have cattle, and the cattle market's just been phenomenal.
Yeah. And you touched on that, but you know, I'm thinking of, I'm thinking of during COVID, like in the middle of COVID, mm-hmm. Wasn't that when meat prices went way up? Seemed like, and was that before all the inflation situation came in?
Yeah. Well, we had kind of a worse situation early in COVID in terms of, you know, consumers were buying about all the meat that they could find in the meat case, and certainly beef. And at that time, we had some plant closures, so farmers couldn't sell their animals. And as a result, you know, we had initially some reductions in beef prices at the farm level. So, you know, farmers saw consumer price of beef going up and their prices going down. But, you know, a lot of that had to do with the fact that we had the supply chain disruption. But now, you know, processing's not really an issue. But as I said earlier, it's just the cattle numbers We go through what we call a cattle cycle, and, you know, high prices do encourage additional production, but when it happens for grains, you know, you can rebound quickly from a low supply situation. But cattle, just due to the fact that the biological nature takes, you know, a couple of years to rebound part of that cattle herd. So we're starting, you know, cattle numbers have continued to fall, and as a result, given the demand levels for beef out there, it's causing pretty good run up in beef cattle prices, even though they've come back a little bit the past couple of months, but still at a level that is encouraging moving into 24. It's probably going to continue to be strong beef cattle prices in 24 as well.
Hmm. Now, did you just say that so in Kentucky, for instance, the number of the cattle numbers have come down in Kentucky then?
Nationally, as well as Kentucky. It's again, pretty tight supply market, and that's what's driving those beef prices.
Hmm. Okay. So is that a way of saying, I mean, 23 compared to 22, for instance, we would have fewer cattle farmers in Kentucky?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
One thing we might touch on, one of the things damping a little bit is the export market. Past two or three years, we've had some, you know, very high export levels for agricultural products, but they're kind of pulling back again here in 23. We've got kind of a slowing global economy. We've got a higher value dollar. Again, more global competition from South America and some other producers around the world, adding to, you know, providing lots of additional export supplies. So that's one of the things that we're watching moving into 24. The other thing, if you talk to farmers, again, they continue to talk about input prices. And as I said, fertilizer and feed prices are down. But as you know, ag is a big capital-intensive sector, and farmers borrow a lot of money. Now, thankfully, during, you know, a good run-up in ag, a lot of that, the expenses, either buying equipment or buying, you know, production inputs, has been financed by cash that they had available, excess cash available. But now, you know, all that excess cash is been depleted, and they're going to have to go borrow money for operating loans, as well as, you know, purchasing land and equipment, and interest rates have more than doubled. So, you know, everybody's kind of seeing what the Fed's going to do. If, you know, is interest rate hikes, are they at a point where hopefully they've peaked and maybe start coming down, but they're not going to come down very quickly. And again, that's going to impact those margins that those producers have, because, you know, it's an input cost. And to a lot of our farmers that are borrowing a lot of money, they're going to notice a pretty significant increase in interest expense, both in 23 and heading in 24 as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you early on touched on the weather a little bit. So is it fair to say the weather impact wasn't what it could have been?
Right. The genetics anymore, especially, you know, corn and soybeans, you know, you would talk to most of these grain farmers across the state, and they say, well, we had some really dry periods during the summer, and we thought it was going to impact yields, but they've been very surprised. We're not going to have record yields this year, but it's going to be some pretty phenomenal yields for most of our grain crops. We had a good wheat year this past year. And again, even though all three grains, wheat, soybeans, and corn, saw some significant, you know, declines overall, those higher yields helped offset that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One other thing I'll bring up, always make the point, you know, all our forecasts, we always say, well, this is based on normal weather. Well, you and I both know there's no such thing anymore with normal weather. It seems like we're having all types of weather challenges in ag. So we've got that issue. But then all this geopolitical battle out there and uncertainty, you know, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening with Russia and relationships with China. Now we've got, you know, the tension in the Middle East, all these things disrupt markets, and, you know, ag doesn't escape that. So that's adding a lot of volatility to our markets these days. And as we always point out to our producers, there's some risk management tools out there, from crop insurance to, you know, getting into a futures market to try to protect some downside price risk in case some of this volatility comes about. So it's today's farmers are, besides focusing on the production side, they really have to focus a lot on management and marketing to survive this very uncertain environment we're in as part of a global economy.
And Will, I guess tend to ask one question about tobacco, and I guess it would be, you know, in 24, is it a situation where we'll see even fewer tobacco growers in 24 than 23?
Probably. We've got census data coming out the first of the year, and the last census had around 2,500 farms growing tobacco in Kentucky. I think it's going to be a question whether we're still above 1,000. That census number is back from the 2017 ag census. We do this every 5 years, so the 22 numbers will come out, like I said, early in 24. It's kind of surprising that the situation with tobacco is, you know, demand has continued to decline, so the world needs less burley tobacco, but we've lost so many growers out there that really we're in a very tight supply situation worldwide, and you know, companies are trying to entice growers to grow more burley tobacco here in Kentucky. But, you know, margins are tight, yields have been disappointing, and the labor cost, we just got notice that the H-2A or the labor cost of bringing in migrant workers is going to be, I think, $15.14 an hour in 2024. And, time you add workers' comp, they also have to pay for bringing those workers in, housing those workers. You know, it's well over $20 an hour. And again, given a very labor-intensive crop, that's cutting to tobacco margins. So even though the companies want more burley grown, they've added some price incentives there. We did not grow more burley in 2023, even with higher prices, and it's going to be a challenge to grow more next year, given the labor cost and the yield challenges that we've had, even with higher prices. West Kentucky, dark tobacco. It's been somewhat the bright spot in the tobacco situation in Kentucky because we've had increasing product demand. Snuff is what we use, or dark tobacco is used primarily in snuff production, but there's been a pullback in that market, and as a result, those farmers have seen some contract cuts. So overall, last few years we've talked about a $250 million tobacco economy here in the state. We're probably in the low twos right now, with some challenges whether we can stay above $200 million in the years to come.